golf. Well, on a morning like this, where the shadows are long and the sky is blue and the wind is down, there is nothing more wonderful to do than to get into my car and drive down the hill and head for Fota Island Golf Club to play a round of golf. That's let me state my position very clearly. I am somebody who loves golf. And I love it in at so many different levels, and it goes right back to my childhood. But the other thing is that I'm a very mediocre golfer. I'm somebody who doesn't follow all the advice that I've been given and the advice that works. In other words, I don't practice. It's got to be about 3 weeks since I last touched a golf club, let alone hit a golf ball with energy. So that's what it's like. I'm one of those fair weather golfers who keeps on regretting that he doesn't play more. And I can't blame my wife. My wife actually is an encourager of me to play golf. So in that sense, I'm probably an unusual man. My wife doesn't complain about being a golf widow. And certainly, they will never say about me that he played too much golf. So that's a welcoming to this morning. The rest of this audio is going to be about things connected with golf, and it's part of a long-term plan to record a diary called Diary of a Mediocre Golfer. And, well, just the very last thing I said to my daughter as I was rushing out the house. Again, it's 8:20. I'm on the tee at 8:40. That means things are going to get hairy in a few minutes when I stop the car at Fota, because I'll have about 5 minutes to get from the car to teeing off. And I also want to get into the competition, which means I have to sign into the computer system. So I better break the speed limit, is one voice that I have in one side of my head. And the other voice inside of my head says, you can't play good golf if you're excited. So there we are. I'm in between the rock and the hard place, and the river Glashnaboy, which is on my left-hand side, glistens in the sun as I drive downstream. The last thing I said to my daughter, Grace Omani Dot, on Audioboo, as I left the house was, bye-bye, darling Grace, I'm off to play golf in my underpants. And the reason I said that is that she came downstairs this morning, found me in the kitchen in my underpants, making tea, and said, Dad, you'll be late for golf. And I started to practice my golf swing in the kitchen in front of her in my underpants, and she had a really big snigger. And I said, well, you know, it's summertime, I'm dressed for golf, you need light clothes. And anyway, she wasn't buying that. So I have more on than the underpants, but I do assure you I do have underpants on as I head to the golf course. You know, I mean, you'd be in big trouble if you were in the running for a score and you had no underpants on, I can tell you. It could easily distract you, especially later in the round. The other thing that distracted me and has me, well, to be honest, thinking that I'm unlikely to have a good score today. Now, that's the wrong mindset to have. The right mindset to have is today is the day, the day. Today is the day the putts will drop, etc., etc. But to be truthful, between you and me, that's a hard one to master. After I have been foolish enough to allow myself to be distracted by Chris Brogan. Yeah, I blame Chris Brogan for my golf play today now. I'm setting myself up to say that, you know, when eventually I get to meet Chris in the flesh, I'll say to him, Chris, you know what? You are a very distracting man. You know, here I was getting into bed last night at a not too disgraceful hour, but neither was it early enough, really, but it wasn't too disgraceful. And I find coming across my Twitter stream just as I'm going to sleep the information that Jane Boyd over there in Vancouver, the wonderful great Jane Boyd, who I rate hold in the highest esteem, has bloody well gone and recorded Chris Brogan speaking at a conference. And she has put up at least two audio boos, each of which are about 20 minutes long or something like that. I didn't even time them, I was so tired. of Chris Brogan speaking. So I, in my stupidity, you know, find Chris Brogan irresistible. So I had to listen. And I thought, I'll just listen to the beginning, you know, I'll just get an idea of what he's talking about so I can come back and listen to it again today. But instead, I couldn't take my ears off him. So my golf today is going to be played by a guy who eventually woke up to find himself with his iPhone plugged into his ears at 20 past one in the morning. In other words, I fell asleep during Chris Brogan talk at that conference in Victoria, I think it was, over there in, anyway, somewhere right over in the west of Canada, at a thing called a social media camp. Yeah. So, I don't even know if Chris Brogan plays golf. But the funny thing is that in my tiredness last night, I thought, oh, this is, you know, and these ideas that Chris Brogan is expressing at the beginning of his talk are, you know, they'll come back to me in the morning in some way, but I didn't really understand them. And then I went to sleep and I woke up this morning, and the very first thing that came into my head when I was sort of going downstairs was Chris Brogan's ideas. And I suddenly realized the penny dropped. Oh my God, I understand what Chris was talking about last night. And I haven't been thinking about what Chris talked. I just went to sleep on what Chris Brogan said last night. Didn't really understand it last night. Woke up this morning understanding it absolutely clearly. So that's, I suppose there are some advantages in listening to audios, tapes, late at night before you go to sleep. You listen to the audio tape and you wake up and it slightly confuses you or perplexes you. Unfortunately, they're things that keep you awake, aren't they? I mean, what you really want is something that bores the pants off you. And the last thing you want to do is listen to somebody with a track record like Chris Brogan and a backstory like Chris Brogan, because he's talking about something and I'm thinking, oh my God, he's come from X, Y, and Z. And I remember 8 years ago what Chris Brogan said he was doing 8 years ago, and he mentions one or two things in his past. And it's just like any speaker, you know, as the more you know about them, the more their content is enriched, you know. And if you're making a speech at an event, you know, if the only thing you give the audience are your ideas, and you don't give them your history, and you don't give them your bits of your autobiography, I mean, you're missing layers and layers of enriching process. So, I mean, I should probably tell you that I started playing golf through watching it, you know, caddying for my dad in short trousers and trying to get a bit of extra money, but also trying to be the big boy in the family, you know, the oldest son in the family. So here I am heading to a golf club today, sort of as a result of the experience of how my father treated me as a youngster when he actually let me caddy for him. And he didn't force me to caddy for him. And he didn't pay me so much money that I couldn't resist. I did actually. He must have been very subtle, my dad, because he pitched the amount of money that I would earn for caddying at golf at a level which was not too low to be, you know, despicable. You know, and even 8-year-olds find certain amounts of money despicable. But certainly my daughter at the age of 6 has no time for copper coinage. She only deals in euros, and she will sometimes go along with 50 cents. But she won't touch the brown stuff, the kind of 1 cent coins and the 2 cent coins. Now, look, you've had enough of me wittering about other things, because you've turned tuned into this because of your interest in golf, you know. And if I tell you that the entrance in to Fota Island Golf Club is a long kind of passageway underneath trees, so I'm now in the shade. The trees are coming across the top, and they're copper beech, and they're plane trees, and I won't try and pretend that I know. Actually, they're ordinary beech. I take back the copper beech. But there's rhododendra and the rhododendrums on the side, and a sign saying self-catering lodge rental, and it gives a number, so you can get yourself an old lodge here and play. probably cost you an arm and a leg, although in these chastened times, I might have a good deal. I've just dropped the phone. I've got no idea if this is recording. Okay, the phone dropped mid-sentence, so I picked it up now, and I'm out of the shade, and I'm very close to the golf course, and it's 8:30. It will actually be a few more minutes before the car is actually parked, and then the rat rush will get. In photo, they got 27 holes, and I do hope we're playing off the tee, which is close to the clubhouse. It'll be, what is it, Murphy's Law, or Sod's Law, or Bloody O'Mahony's Law, which is says that in the worst of all possible circumstances, the worst of all things happen. So here I am late, and I'm probably going to discover that I'm actually due to tee off on the furthest away tee box. Okay, look, I thank you ever so much for listening. If you ever did listen to the end of this, you know, we all love golf. That's what it's about, isn't it? You know, joking apart, all the humour and everything, we love the bloody game. And I love the kind of conversations you can have on a golf course. So here we go. All the best. Bye-bye.